There's a final meaning too. In choosing this song to stand at the head of his Italian songbook, I'm sure that Wolf is making yet another point. Don't despise or reject the short song form, he says. It creates its own world of beauty and feeling, entirely comparable with Wagner, for example, in depth, if not in breadth. Wolf had the nightmare of being considered only a songwriter. It gave him insomnia and bad dreams. He knew he was a great composer, but he was only a songwriter. And he felt all his life in the shadow of Wagner, as a flower at the foot of a great oak tree, he said. Nevertheless, he felt, and I'm sure he felt, that this song says, don't despise me, I'm only a little song, and I'm worth many an opera, he briefed to say. And that's the special secret of this song. Every detail, however small, is given universal value by great art. The small-scale song motif is not grandly significant, like Valhalla or Magic Fire. It's often confined to just one song, but there it can be Wagnerian in its intensity. Each song has not only feelings, but characters that change, develop within the music, often combining two quite different, two or more quite different and apparently incompatible emotions. Love and rage, humor and despair, many other feelings which have no name except in the musical definition that Wolf's music gives them. Everything is there, the family, lovers, youth and age throughout the songbook expressed in musical terms that range from the simple rudiments of music to the utmost technical virtuosity in voice and piano. So even small things take on universal significance, and Wolf is helped in this by his own Italian background. His songs express Italian ideas and feelings in the German Lied style, and it gives them an extra and a vital dimension. Here's how the composer himself expressed that idea in a letter to a friend. A warm heart, I assure you, beats in the small bodies of my youngest children of the South. Yes, their hearts beat in German, though the sun shines on them in Italian. In other words, they have dual nationality. And that can lead to difficulties or even conflicts of interpretation. Tempo, for example. It might not be an exaggeration to say that each song has two basic tempi. The Italian tempo of actual immediate personal experience, and the German tempo of conceptual contemplation. Wolf's metronome, I'm sure, beat in German. But really, in this respect, as in all others, that union of two great musical traditions takes the small thing, the small song, into universality by adding extra dimensions, extra areas, extra power. There are many other examples of the union of the Italian and German tradition. I cite Dante, Michelangelo, Benvenuto, Ferruccio, Busoni, a German composer, I'm told, in many respects. However implausible that may sound. Conversely, Hermann Wolf, no relation, was more of an Italian composer. He preferred the form Ermanno for his first name, and he added his mother's maiden name of Ferrari just to show where his sympathies lay. But the essential point is that there are already, within Wolf and within his music and the tradition within which he was writing, sources of power which are tapped in this songbook and in no other. And I think we have to add the apperceptions of the English-speaking world. That's always felt a special affinity with Wolf's music. And now we have an international community of interest, including Japan. Walter Legg once told me that his famous Wolf Society records would not have been commercially viable without last-minute orders from Japan in the 1930s. That, and I'm sure that interest continues and flourishes today. We have an international scene, so the Kleiner Dinger are not so Klein after all. That song is approaching its centenary, I think, December I think it's approaching its centenary. And Wolffians, as learners and teachers, players and singers, they're going to keep that flame alive for many centuries yet. As long as civilized humanity endures, in Frank Walker's words,